Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the rain today. We thank you for this moment to start our week in silence, for which you are invited to speak. Dear Lord, we thank you and praise you for your Son who came and not only taught us the way to go, but also showed us. We give you praise and thanks for his humble example. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Well, you may remember a show from the 70s, if you're older like me, which they replayed in the 80s at noon on Saturdays after cartoons, Kung Fu with David Carradine. And in this show, he was a Shaolin priest who had come to the Americas, and he grew up in the Shaolin Temple. He learned all their ways, and then he was sent forth. And so in a really real sense, in today's gospel, it says, go and learn. Jesus says, go and learn, right? And so in a literal sense, in this show, he was always on the go. In fact, even when really good things happened to him, and people invited him to stay in these towns he visited, he would always keep going on. He would keep wandering, keep going. And then throughout the show, how it worked is he would have flashbacks to the temple, and he would remember times and lessons that his Shaolin master taught him the way he was supposed to do things in certain situations. And those would be applied in the situations that were currently happening in the show. And so that he was literally, in a literal sense, he was going and learning, or recalling what he had learned and then applying it into his life. And I thought that was a good example of what Jesus is talking about here today in Matthew chapter 9, verse 12. On hearing this, Jesus said, "Is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick? Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice." I think in this phrase, before we get to the mercy and the sacrifice, the going is just as important as the learning. I think The going is putting it into action, right? What we've learned into action. And Jesus implies the going goes first. So it's almost like we go and we learn. And I think it's true too, just like David Carradine's character in Kung Fu. We recall what we've learned, and then as we go, we get to have the chance to apply it. And the going is wherever you go throughout the week. It's your daily life. That's where we go, and we learn. And Jesus doesn't waste any time showing us exactly what he means as he says this, because he meets three different people. In his going, he meets Matthew, the tax collector. He meets the synagogue leader, whose daughter has died. And then he meets a woman who has been bleeding, says, for 12 years. She's hemorrhaging for some reason or another for 12 years. You know, oftentimes, this sacrifice and this, it says, mercy versus sacrifice. And he says, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. What he's talking about there is back in Jewish worship, they would literally sacrifice animals for their worship. And that was something they did for any very small things and very big things. The biggest festivals, the smallest little events in your life. You would take a dove maybe and go sacrifice. You know, at the high holy days, it would be a lamb or a bull or, you know, a goat or something else. But sacrifice was the key to that. So it's very similar to our worship, I think, in a sense. And Jesus says, even more than worship, even more than sacrifice, I desire, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy. And, you know, in what he does here is he calls Matthew. He could have walked right by Matthew at his tax collector booth. He could just walk by and never said anything to him. But he calls him. And Matthew was a tax collector, of course. And tax collectors were considered the worst sinners in a social sense. Like when the Pharisees looked at people who did jobs, they considered tax collectors to be the worst of the worst. Jesus could have passed him by. He didn't even have to say anything to him. He not only does that, he calls him to be one of the 12. And then the synagogue leader, right? The synagogue leader comes to him and his daughter has died. Well, you know, if you touch a dead body, you'll be unclean. And not just for a little bit, but for a whole week. Jesus could have said, you know what? I've got some other really important religious things to do. Some important things that maybe even God wants me to do. I've got to do that. And I can't be unclean for a whole week. That's going to take a chunk out of my ministry and what I'm trying to do. But he does. And then the woman who's bleeding for 12 years. Let's go to the scripture real quick and look at these. I like to go back into the law when we can and see what these laws are and see what Jesus is doing in fulfilling them. This is Numbers chapter 19, verse 11. Whoever touches a human corpse will be unclean for 7 days. So there it is, that one there. And then this is Leviticus 15, verse 25. When a woman has a discharge of blood for many days at a time other than her monthly period, or has a discharge that continues beyond her period, she will be unclean as long as she has the discharge. So this woman had literally been living in a state of uncleanness. And so, you know, if Jesus helped her in any way, he would also be unclean. And so, but Jesus says, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. And what I think he means by that sacrifice too is like the letter of the law, the rituals that went with this. You know, Matthew was the worst of the worst. She just called him anyways. This guy's daughter was going to make him unclean because she was dead for a week. Did it anyways. That's merciful, right? You put mercy before the sacrifice. And then this woman who was bleeding as well and extending healing to her. Jesus consistently broke social convention and religious law at times, it seemed. Although we know he wasn't breaking the law, he was fulfilling it. We talked about that some in Bible study. But to the outside and to those looking on, they didn't get it. In fact, in verse 11 of today's gospel, the Pharisee says, hey, disciples, why does your teacher eat with sinners? They ask him that. So Jesus is breaking social convention. He seems to be breaking religious convention, although he's really fulfilling it. And so perhaps part of what go and learn is in some ways going against the flow, going upstream from what the world thinks and expects of us. That's going to happen, I think, if we follow Jesus. If we put mercy before sacrifice. There was an artist who had been commissioned by a church to create a statue to fill the hallway. And the statue she created was of Jesus kneeling to wash the disciples' feet. And someone said, why did you choose to create a sculpture with the figure in such, you know, that posture where they're looking down and they're, you know, their body is on the ground? And she says, because in order to see Jesus' face, you have to get down too. And I think that fits really well with what Jesus is saying today about mercy versus sacrifice. To see our lives and the world from a different perspective than we normally do. Instead of from looking down on others, from the ground up. Which is usually the posture of mercy. So going and learning has some surprising effects as well, some really good effects. In Matthew chapter 9:26 from our gospel today, it says that after all this happened, news of Jesus spread and what he was doing throughout the region. You know, I keep coming back to this in my sermons because I really felt this was something God was leading us to when we did our Lenten series and our list of things, right? Our list of things that make us different as followers of Christ, and that we need to live those out in the world. And I think the challenge of doing that that I've discovered is, you know, it'd be great if someone was coming to interview me or you about ways in which we're doing this, right? If they were after us and we could talk about these things before others, that would be easy. But what we need, I think, and what God's kind of led me to, and a ministry that Vicky suggested a long time ago, we'll talk more about, is that we need to be doing these things before the eyes of others. And so I think that verse 26 really encourages us to see the connection between things like mercy and hospitality, two of the things on that list downstairs, mercy and hospitality and bringing others in to the fellowship here at St. Mark's. It seems like they go together. They do in the gospel anyways. So we've learned about a lot of these things, you know, through my sermons and Bible studies and your own study and your own lives. We've learned about that. Now we need to go and do. I came across a cool story this week of someone who was a lawyer. And they were a lawyer mainly for those who were in bankruptcy. And so they went with this lawyer to the law court. And it was a bankruptcy court, and the judge enters, and the attendant cried out, "All debtors rise." And so the two people who were, or however many people were involved in this court case about the debt that they were asking forgiveness for, would stand up at that moment. And Willimon says that, you know, every Sunday when the church gathers, perhaps we ought to say the same thing, all debtors rise, because all of us are in debt to Christ's mercy. All of us have been forgiven great things. And so then we rely upon God who can do for us what we cannot do for ourselves in forgiving our sins. And so I think that's part of learning, going and learning, right? Is being reminded that, you know what, when we're called, when we have the choice to show mercy or not in our lives, you know what, I've needed that too. I've needed that before in my life, and Christ has extended that to me. I need to extend it to them as well. Mercy, because we've been shown mercy. And you know what's interesting? It seems to be the responses of the people that Jesus reaches out and gives mercy to are just as bold as Jesus' actions. We talked about Jesus' boldness in breaking social convention and religious interpretation, but they're just as bold. For example, Matthew, when Jesus invites him to be one of the 12, think what he's given up. He's given up a really, really good job with financial security. And he's walking away from that to go follow Jesus, who had nothing. And then he would have nothing by extension as well, right? So their response, his response is bold. And then you have the woman who really was, her boldness was more in stealth. She couldn't tell anybody that she was unclean because everybody would just run away from her. I'm sure she had that experience for 12 years. So she had to go up and just touch the fringe of Jesus' cloak without saying anything to anybody. And that took a lot of courage too, because she wouldn't have been touching his cloak if she didn't know who he was and what he could do, and the fact that he might know anyways, because he's God in the flesh. And she knew it. And so she's bold in her actions. And then finally, the synagogue leader, it says that the synagogue leader knelt down and worshiped Jesus. Knelt down before him to beg for him to heal his daughter. But he's a synagogue leader. Jesus wasn't too popular at this point among synagogue leaders. What would these other synagogue leaders think about him doing, you know, kneeling down before Jesus? That's a pretty, you know, that's an act of worship. That's saying Jesus is more than just a man. And so their actions equal Jesus' boldness. And I think that the mercy that Jesus shows, it lends to more mercy happening around him. And that's the same for us. And the same thing I think he was doing when he said, you know what, I washed your feet, you go wash other people's. It spreads. And that mercy spreads. And the word about that spreads. And people come to find out what in the world is going on, because that's different than the way the world works. Go and learn, Jesus says. And like I said, it happens in daily life, ordinary life, right? In the classroom, at the car garage, at the grocery, in crowds, when you're paying your taxes at the tax booth. That's where those opportunities for mercy happen. I like this show called Endeavor. Sarah and I like it. It's a PBS show. A detective named Inspector Morse, and his colleague is a guy named Inspector Thursday. His last name's Thursday, and he's a really Mr. Thursday is really straight laced. He's by the book. He does what's right. He seeks justice. But in one of the seasons of the show, he kind of loses his way a little bit. And he lends his brother an incredible sum of money out of his retirement that he's about to retire and receive. And through some kind of shady deal, the brother loses it all. And he has to tell his wife that their retirement's gone. And it's a real hard moment in their marriage, as you might guess. And so what he starts to do in order to try to win her back is to get the money back. And in order to do that on a policeman's salary, he has to kind of do some things that are a little shady. He doesn't ever really ask what this is about, but he gets money basically for being quiet. He doesn't know what he's being quiet about, but in other words, he just kind of plays the game with the other constables that are corrupt, and he gets money for that. And he has this kind of moment of realization that in all the important moments of life, it comes down, and often too, with just a few seconds to decide, it comes down to doing the right thing, which is usually unpopular, or kind of going along with the crowd and regretting it for the rest of your life. And he says most of the real important decisions in our life come down to that. And he walks in to the guy who's been given the money, and he throws down the envelope, which is thick, and says, there it is all back. And he says, that's not the way it works. And Thursday says, well, that's the way it's going to work this time. And so he has this moment of realization, right, that these moments in our lives come down to doing what's popular and probably wrong, or unpopular and probably right. And I think in a way, that's what Jesus is talking about with the mercy and the sacrifice. It was religiously acceptable to focus on just the sacrifices, to focus on just the letter of the law. That's what was accepted. It was socially acceptable to call tax collectors awful people and to ignore them and to get away from them, right? And then here comes Jesus with the unpopular move, inviting a tax collector not only to eat with him, to become one of his inner circle, and then to Go and touch a dead corpse. Heal her. Touch a lady who's bleeding and heal her. So these important decisions seem to hinge on these little moments in everyday life. And Jesus says, when you're trying to figure that out, lean towards mercy and keep going.